This is Chan Burry recording for the Minnesota Humanities Center We Are Water Minnesota Project. Today I have Lillian Hang on with me. How are you, Lillian?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Chan Burry.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Lillian. Your kids are truly amazing.
Hey, they are special.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, Lillian. Have you been in St. Paul your life? Or I believe you're, in the Twin Cities area. Tell me, share with me a little bit. We've probably run into each other a couple of times here and there, but we've never had the opportunity to chat.
I'm sure, yeah. So we, for the most part, grew up in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. All of our life until high school, and then I went to school out on the East Coast, and then I came back. I came back and worked for a bit, and then decided to got married, moved out to Pennsylvania, and then moved back when we wanted to start a family. So we really knew that when my husband and I wanted to settle down with the family, we knew we had to come back to Minnesota. So we've been back for the past 9 years.
So much colder up here. Why wouldn't you prefer up here over Pennsylvania and the coast?
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely it's where family is. It's where the family is. It's where the community is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of pretty much where I like this. And I know it's also where I feel good, too.
Oh, Jean Kelly. Even with the cold. Even with the cold, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
No. Even with the cold.
People ask me all the time, like, what you doing up in Minnesota? I said, it's cold and we're by day. That's what I tell people all the time.
Yeah. No, it is true, though. You know? I have to say, too, I think we kind of get used to it. We get used to it. Uh-huh. And, I think, too, I think for us being like kind of the 1.5 generation, we've really come to embrace the snow. I think we enjoy it. I feel like I genuinely enjoy it, right? Growing up with the snow, you didn't have but you bought snow pants. Seriously, we did not have snow pants. We had we wore 3-set pants. That was our snow pants. We didn't have snow pants.
Yeah.
And now that we actually have snow pants, wow, this is, I understand why. This is enjoyable. Skiing, sledding, playing outside with the right materials, with the right clothing. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Awesome. You made a good point that we're kind of like that 1.5 generation of Hmong. What do you think about what were some of our parents thought when they came to Minnesota many years ago and here they are, there's all these snow. What do you think they're thinking their process was?
I think their process at that time was just surviving and in a way almost passively assimilating for the sake of surviving. I think I know I look at my parents and I know they're still very Hmong. They still are very Hmong. Even then they were still very Hmong. But they found ways to get through stuff. And if that was finding ESL classes to learn enough English to get a decent job at the factory or, at connecting with other community members to find companies that they could bring home thousands and thousands of sewing pieces to do at home while watching us. Mom took cooking classes, so she actually knows how to bake banana bread and make pizza. So I think for that was surviving. But at home, we were still very Hmong.
Very Hmong.
Our mindset, we did the hoopli. To this day, we still do hoopli orning. My kids. I don't know if you heard about that 2020 Hmong Chaien. We all my kids have that red string tied around them. We had we had that branch outside of our house.
Yeah. There was that. We have it too. I have it at in front of my house also. Yeah.
We have it. I mean, seriously, I remember middle of the day, I have to go walk around and go tree branches to put in front of our house. So we're still kind of very Hmong. We are actually very Hmong like that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, great. Well,
but yeah, it's surviving. Surviving and making the best that they doing the best that they can.
That's great. No, thank you for sharing that. And so a little bit about this project, what we're looking for is this project is within Minnesota Humanities Center, Lillian, and we're trying to capture stories around water because everyone has such unique experiences, happy moments, sad moments, fear. I would love the opportunity to get some of your experiences around water and kind of how water your life has revolved around water. And so my first question to you is, what does water mean to you, Lillian?
I think from a very scientific standpoint, water is kind of an essential part of life. We need water. I mean, you think about whether something small as animals, birds, or insects, they need water to survive the same way that humans need water to survive, and not just to like water to drink, to rehydrate our bodies from a scientific standpoint, but also water just to keep ourselves clean. I mean, something like shower, taking a bath. I mean, we take in America, I think we take all that for granted. I think about when my mom and I a few years ago, a decade ago or so, we visited Laos actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was reminded that, and we were in Lonapa, a village where you literally went down into the river and you took a bath. And you did not take a bath every day. You took a bath once a week, once every other week, you know, but you took a bath in the water. And it's one of the things like that reminded me that we totally take clean water here in America for granted. I'm also thinking about Flint, Michigan, right? Where there are some places in America where we do take clean water for granted. And there are some places like Flint, Michigan, which is in a developed country, the United States, but yet they have a huge water contamination issue.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that could potentially become an issue around the country if we don't take care of our water? Or, you know, what are your thoughts around clean water around the country here for us?
Oh, definitely. There'll definitely be an issue if we do not take care of our water. Not only take care of our water, but we need to have a equitable distribution of clean water.
Awesome.
It's not right that certain places have clean water 24/7, while other places are either paying super expensive for clean water or just do not have clean water, period.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in places like here in the United States. Again, a developing country.
Yeah. It breaks my heart. I saw a documentary, it was sometime last year, 2 years ago, about people donating water bottles to the communities in Michigan. And you know, not being able to use that water to eat or drink or anything at all. It's you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, we have to have, you know, equitable, it has to be, you know, around water, clean water, safe water. It's part of our human rights.
I agree.
That's awesome. Well, I'm curious now, can you, you know, I know you come from a farming family and we shared that a little bit prior to our interview today. And do you have any, you know, stories around water and farming and something that, you know, can you share a funny story with me, you know, something around water and something funny that you will always remember? Doesn't have to be with farming, but something around water. Can you think of one of those stories for me?
Yeah, you know, when I think about farming, we've been farming for way too long, for 20, 30 years now. And I think, especially in regards to water, I think especially when I'm talking about water, I think about what was our farming life like 20, 30 years ago compared to now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it had to do with access to water, like proximal access to water. And I'll explain that a bit. So 20, 30 years ago, right, we will farm on Igasna, right? Land that we did not own, land that we rented. There was not a single water spout in sight. You know, and so in fact, if we want to bring any kind of water into the garden, we literally had to drive like 10, 15, maybe not that much, but like 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes away, right? To like a central spout, fill up our truck with these like a 5-gallon bucket of water, or sometimes more frequently, we'll fill up plastic bag, like garbage bag with water and tie them and be like, okay, you know what? Hopefully it doesn't break.
Wow.
And then we'll drive all the way back to the garden. And then we will, you know, use that water to water a plant, to plant the transplant and so forth. And whatever water we got after we planted the plant were based on nature, like rain.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it was rainy, awesome, great. But if it was that dry season, then we were out of luck. And so it was really, really hard. And think about the water. And half the time it was fun because you were always wet. But on the other side, like, you mean that the car was always wet. It was just gross.
Mm.
And then I think about now recently where we currently farm at the Among America Farm Association.
Mm-hmm.
And there's literally spouts on every single 5-acre plot.
Mm.
So right now, all I need is a 30, 50 feet hole, and I've directly connected to a water spout. you know, 50 feet and I'm connected to waterfall. 50 feet, I'm connected to waterfall. And it is fantastic because now, I think of how mom and dad are farming, how I'm farming now compared to how we were farming years ago. Now we actually have this thing called drip strip. You know, like we've never heard of drip strip before. So we actually have irrigation strips that go out into our acres and acres of land. We have high tunnels that we can create water system inside it. We can irrigate, when we plant, we don't need to drive all over to get water. We can just connect the hose and just spray it. I mean, to put more time on that, you have a sprinkler going on at the farm to water the plant, right? So you can really control the quality of your produce, with that proximal access to water. I also think though, because my mom and dad were, because we see the direct connection between us and water, we're very, very conscious on what kind of chemical we put on the land. We're very, very cautious of what kind of drainage occurs on the land. We see it, you smell it. Sometimes you don't see it or smell it. You see it in that year's plant. I mean, you see when it's just too much nitrogen. You see when there's just too much stuff going on, too much chemical.
It's farming sounds so much different now than it was many years ago.
Oh my God, it's so different. And it's enjoyable, like genuinely enjoyable. Something as simple as just having access to water. Like literally, it's like enjoyable, it's fun, like you want to be there, we want to be there, the kids want to be there. Whereas before, it's kind of, oh man, like every day we pray for rain because if it rains, that means that it's a day that we're not going to the garden. Oh. And now it's kind of like hoping it doesn't rain because we can control the water now.
So just, you know, thinking about that, was there ever a time when you guys were farming and it just did not rain at all? You know, do you remember one of those years? How was the feeling when that happened? Your parents were farmers. What was going through your mind when it did not rain at all?
I think, you know, I can't remember specifically any specific time, but I know, and I'm sure that has happened. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things where you just suck it up. And I think you just make do with it. Not great. I think there are times where mom and dad will force us to, because we were young enough, but did not necessarily have a driver's license, so we could drive around the state, around the garden. And literally, we would literally take turns driving back and forth from the garden to that one water spout to kind of just trade off, literally, like to bring water back so we can, watering can, like literally a watering can from one plant to the other. I feel like it's memories like that we have kind of blocked out because it just reminded us of the hardship of farming. And it wasn't really a choice. Like that was our way of, we went to private school, so that's our way of paying for tuition. And so you just block it out because you didn't choose to farm. You just had to farm. Mm-hmm. We just had to farm.
I think a lot of people don't, you know, if I want a tomato, I go to Cub Foods and I just buy it. Yeah. You know, if I want a cucumber, I do the same thing. We don't think about, you know, the hard work that farmers do every day on the farm. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't remember. But I, you know, from hearing you talk, it sounds like it's a lot of work. So
it's a lot of work. And so it's not just the watering it so that it's nice and plump, so that the watermelons are juicy, so that the tomatoes are juicy. But then, as Asha said, it's also the washing it, like the kale. You can't be selling dirty stuff. So you got to come and wash this, wash that, soak this, soak that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and all the root plants, potatoes, beets, sweet potatoes, carrots. You know, they all have to be washed.
Have to be washed. Wow, it's definitely a lot of work. And water is definitely a big part of all of that entire process, from growing it to processing it and selling it. It sounds like water is just a big part of the whole entire ecosystem there.
It really is. And I think as farmers, in a way, you really appreciate it because there's not a day when I'm at the garden where I'm not touching water. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a day, whether that is washing my hands, whether that is washing the pickles, whether that is watering the plants, I seriously not. Yeah, really, not a single day goes by when I'm at the garden that I'm not touching water in one form or another.
Always around it. What are some good memories with your kids around water? You know, I had a great conversation with them earlier, and they sound like they love water. What are some good memories around water with them? You think of any of those?
When I think about water, I really think about the nature. And then whenever, water just remind me how little we are in this whole spectrum of nature, Mother Earth and the world and life. Whether that's like waterfall, whether that's enjoying time at the lake, whether that's sitting. We don't really canoe that I can't swim or do anything. But, you know, whether it's like pretending to like want to canoe, you know, we do really have a really good time with water. I think like with a lot of maybe with a lot of Hmong people too. And sadly, I think a lot of minority community members too, that, you know, as much as we enjoy water and we enjoy looking at water, we're also very afraid of water, especially when we go to the swimming piece. You know, like we didn't swim. I mean, I put my kids to swimming lesson, and trust me, it was not cheap. But we did it because if Kunde and I were drowning in the lake, we needed someone to rescue us and hopefully it's our kids. But you know what? Nothing like that. You know, like, so we do. We love nature. But we love nature from a observing perspective and not so much as being right in the middle of water, swimming, and all that. But good memories. I mean, we have really good memories with water, whether it's like running in the rain, catching snow in our mouth.
That does sound So you mentioned running. You mentioned running in the rain. I wanted to capture that a little bit. And was that something recent that you guys have done together as a family, running in the rain, or?
Yeah, you know, the kids and I were at the garden getting stuff from mom and dad, of course. And we were in the middle, and suddenly, out of nowhere, we were caught in the middle of a rainstorm. It was just so much fun because, you know, I forget what it is to be like a kid again, like so careless and like carefree, and who cares if we're wet? It was just so much fun. Dirty with like Nokia. Like it was just great. But then again, you know, I was gonna say that we're also very lucky because then we just had to, you know, walk down a few feet and then wash our feet at the well water. It was just so much fun.
Was it just you and the two kids that were running through the rain or?
Yeah, just me and the two kids. We're getting stuff. What were we getting? Like sage or rosemary for dad. Yeah.
And the rain down.
Rain came down in the garden. It's actually almost kind of beautiful. Like in the sun was about to set. And then it went from blue sky to dark sky like within 2 minutes. And it just downpour of rain.
Explain to me that feeling. You know, that sounds like I need to go to. It's been a while since I've been in the rainstorm too, and I want to go get soaked up again. But explain that feeling to me when you're just there in nature and it's raining and it's pouring on you. How did that feel like?
You know. I think it is. You know, as adults, we are so. I think that we're just so uptight. Like we want to control this, control that. And what I love about that time was that it was just so carefree. Like nothing mattered. Like who cares, right? Like it was free. Like it was just so great. And maybe it was just a way of nature reminding us that, you know what, just enjoy the present. And it was a great, it's a memory that I would always have with my kids where everyone's like screaming, like we were screaming out of fear, but also to be like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, this is nice. That's just like a free and appreciation, gracious feeling.
That's awesome. No, thank you for sharing that with me. And, you know, Asha mentioned a little bit about fishing earlier, and I was curious, you know, do you guys do a lot of fishing too with the kids or?
Well, to be honest, not really. Just started fishing this year. Okay. My brothers are really into fishing. Dad are really into fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, to be honest, we've been so busy with our typical American life that we haven't had much time. When we did go fishing this summer, this first time that I exposed the kids to fishing, and they really had such a good time, from picking the worms to dating the worms to casting the line, and Asha is kind of a natural pro at casting her line into the water.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like you've had a lot of fun around water.
We have had a great time with water. We've had a great, great time. We're just so lucky to have water.
I also just want to, you know, so my last question here for you is, so we've had such great memories around water, and we talked about the importance of water. You know, we think about 100 years down the road, you know, what do we need to do to ensure that our water is going to still be clean, and that next time, in 100 years down the road, when we're running in the rain, we're not running in acid rain, you know, that's what I worry about. You know, what do we need to do to ensure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think water is only one of the, water is very important, of course. But I think water, or like the rain coming down, is only one of the many aspects of us making sure that we are taking care of the environment and being conscious about the things that we do as well as the things that we are not doing. I think we've, up to this point, we've been very privileged and what's the right word? Inheriting the earth, is that the right word? The way it is. And I think exactly what you said, we need to ensure that a million years ago, maybe not our kids, but definitely our grandkids, will have a world and an earth that is equally precious as what we're seeing and in a way to taking advantage of today. And so what can we do? I think we need to may seem like very things that we've already known. These are things that we've learned since we're in first to fifth grade. If we're in first grade, second grade, elementary school, you know, protect the earth. Don't waste water. Don't throw chemicals. Don't protect the air. You know, minimize that carbon dioxide emissions. Don't cut down our rainforest. You know, another thing that I feel like these are things that we've learned as elementary school kids, but maybe as we've gotten older, money, greed, business has gone away, and we've forgotten these very simple things that we've learned already as young. And I think, you know, there's what is that one? There's that one quote where we got to plant a tree, not so that we can enjoy its shade, but so that our grandkids can enjoy its shade, right? We have to plant a nature plant, a way of ensuring that the earth is still here, not for us, but for our grandkids.
You know, that reminds me of the movie, the movie Lorax. Have you seen that movie yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Lorax.
Dr. Seuss. Oh, that just made me think about
exactly,
that.
Right? Exactly. We should take it. And it's not true. Not that true, but now you got me thinking. Also, our Shel Silverstein is the giving tree. You know, we take it, and what do we. It's such a selfish way. We take. And I think it might, you know,
we take in return.
And I honestly, I guess, so I think about even now with this house, now that we're having all this conversation with privilege, right? Is that we need to, in order for us to ensure equality, equity, some privileges need to be given up. And if that's us doing, you know, giving up something that we take for granted, and we're just wasting water, then that's us giving it up. I mean, I can't think of anything right now.
No, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing those wonderful stories, and you know, they were great stories, and you know, I'd love to take these back to the Minnesota Humanity Center and have them listen to it too, and you know, to hear your experience around water. But you know, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for. You know, having this wonderful conversation with me, but I've learned so much from you. You know, every conversation I have, I learn. So thank you, Lillian.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Jumbly. Yep. Thank you.